Welcome back to Women's Football Report Olympic Edition. I'm your host, Sydney, coming at you from Fallston, Maryland in the United States. I'm finally back in my closet recording studio, and sorry for this podcast coming out a little later. Basically, I had a tournament this weekend, and then I had training right after the games this morning, and I napped when I got home, so I'm finally recording it now at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but it'll still be out on the same day, so you'll probably be listening to this on the 2nd of August, so... So we have two games to talk about today. This podcast is going to be shorter just because it's two games instead of four or six games like usual. I'm going to try to go more in-depth to the game to make it longer, but I just don't know how long it's going to be. So let's get started with our first game. I'm going to start with USA versus Canada since it was the first one this morning. So before I get into the game, I had USA winning and beating Canada, and then I had Canada going to the bronze medal match. The reverse actually happened. Canada won 1-0, and this is their first win against the United States in 20 years. The last time they beat them is in 2001. Before I get into more detail, I'm just going to talk about how Canada scored their goal. Deanna Rose was coming into the box and was tripped by Davidson, and they looked on VAR, and they declared that it was a penalty. Originally, Christine Sinclair was up to take the penalty, but after, I guess, the last penalty miss, and that the fact that Adriana French was in goal and they play on the same club together, so they probably practiced on each other. So Sinclair gave the ball to Jessie Fleming, who converted that huge penalty in the last round. And Jessie Fleming came up huge. She had a great penalty. French guessed the right way, but she just couldn't get her hands on it because it was such a good penalty. So as I said before, I'm a huge Jessie Fleming fan. She's like in my top three of players that I like. And it kind of sucked because, like, I wanted her to score, obviously, but, like, not against the U.S., but I hope Canada goes on and wins it. But you guys might be wondering why France was in goal after Alyssa Nair had a huge game last game, saving a whole bunch of penalties. Well, she got hurt. She went up for the ball, and she landed weird on her knee, and she tried to stay in, but she couldn't stay in. She came off, and that led to France being subbed in. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate for France to be put in her, like, first big, you know, major tournament game, especially when there's a penalty in it. And some people say it wasn't a penalty, some people say it was. There was contact, but it was back and forth, so I don't really know. I'm not a referee, so I'm not going to argue with that call. But it's not really Davidson's fault because they did leave her outside on, like, her own, and she had a great tournament so far. She was one of the few bright spots for the United States. But again, it wasn't the United States' best game, and they've obviously not had a good tournament. But getting back into the game, I'm going to go over some stats for the game. The U.S. had 17 shots with 6 on target, and Canada had 5 shots and 2 on target. So obviously the USA was having more shots on goal and everything, but obviously a penalty is kind of a different situation, so it would be 4-1 if that penalty didn't happen. The United States actually had more possession. They were 56% versus 44%. And if you're wondering, I'm just going to say the U.S. women's national team first, then Canada second, so you don't get confused. For duels won, it was 48% to 52%. Aerial duels was 57% to 43%. The United States had 411 total passes, while Canada had 345. The U.S. passing accuracy was better with 77%, while Canada had 68%. Their opponent half passing accuracy was a little lower with 71% versus 55%. We had 36 crosses and Canada had 8 and we had 36 and we didn't get a singular goal. We haven't been scoring that much this tournament. The only time we did was versus New Zealand and they had literally had 2 own goals. We had 62 tackles won versus 68 and we had 8 fouls versus 6 fouls, and obviously one of the fouls was a penalty. So obviously you can tell the game was kind of back and forth. Usually how it is versus Canada, it's like whoever scores first is going to get that win. Like in the She Believes Cup, it was 1-0. The last time we faced Canada in the Olympics, it was a thriller. This one, not as much. Only goal coming off of PK, which is not as fun to watch, but it still got the job done, I guess. Congrats to Canada, though. They really deserve the win today. I hope they go on and win the whole thing. I mean, this could be Christine Sinclair's one of, like, her last major tournaments, and she hasn't won that much compared to, like, you know, I know this is, might be, like, Carly Lloyd and, like, some of their last tournaments, but they've won a lot. Sinclair is, like, one of the best players, and she hasn't won that much. But moving on, I hope they win the whole thing. The only thing that concerns me is, like, their rotation. Some of their players have been playing a lot of minutes, and that's just a bit concerning because I know Sweden has been rotating a little bit. I mean, I could talk about some of the players, but I'm pretty sure you guys don't want to hear me talk about Jesse Fleming more, but I will just because I'm biased, obviously. She's played every single minute except for the first half against Great Britain, and Desiree Scott basically has done the same thing, except she didn't play at all in that game, I think. It was either the Great Britain game or another game. And for midfielders, that's insane. Like, the U.S. subs them out, too. And there's some other players that just... The defenders are obviously getting a lot of minutes, too, but it's different when you're playing midfielder or forward, because, I mean, you do a lot of running in defense, but you do a lot with midfield. So that's the only thing that concerns me, because they're not going to bench these players, obviously, for the gold medal game. So they're probably going to be expected to play another full 90. Moving on to the United States, the team chemistry was lacking, obviously. I think that was a huge problem in this tournament. Like, there was a lot of mistakes. It's just like, I don't know, this team just didn't seem like it gelled together like it has in the past, which could be a problem for the future, because if they're not going now, like, what's going to change? Obviously, a big change I think that's going to happen after this tournament is a new coach. Flacco hasn't been very impressive with his thing. I mean, even though he had the best start for, like, any Olympic coach, but, like, what big competition did they face? Like, he got them after they won the World Cup. Like, of course he's going to win. But his decisions and stuff hasn't been that great, and the rotation wasn't that great. I'll talk about some more of this when I get to keys for the next game for the bronze medal match. So I'm going to move on to the next game, Sweden versus Australia. I'm just going to start with my prediction again for this one. I thought Sweden was going to win, and I wanted Australia to win, but Sweden did win, 1-0. So I was 50-50 again for my predictions. So at the end of this podcast, I can hopefully have better predictions, but I'm probably going to favor the U.S. again just because they're my favorite team. But yeah, I watched this game after the United States game. Well, not right after. There was like 30 minutes of track bicycle racing, which I did not know was a thing, but I did watch it. But continuing on, I watched this game. It was a pretty good game. I thought Australia actually could get an early goal there. They had a lot of good chances. They did have a goal actually before the half that got disallowed, but Sweden coming out of the half did end up getting a goal from Rolfo, and that just gave them the edge. Even though Australia didn't win this match, this is huge for them, because, like, this is, like, their best result at, like, one of these major tournaments, and their team just, like, played their heart out. Sam Kerr has been playing a lot of minutes, and they were thinking maybe she wouldn't play, but she played through her, like, soreness. She played through everything. She almost had a goal. I just thought, like, Australia has the heart. But yeah, this was a rematch of one of the group stage fixtures where Sweden won 4-2. I mean, this game was obviously a lot closer with the 1-0, so that's good for Australia. They're obviously improving. Ellie Carpenter got a red card in the 95th minute, which should be kind of important, because if you get a red card, you get a suspension for the next game, so she obviously won't be playing. But for Sweden, they won. They're a really good team. This is obviously getting them more momentum because they just keep winning. This is going to be a really good matchup. This is going to be a really big game. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a big game. It's going to be the gold medal game. And it's at a reasonable time for people in the United States. I mean, for me, it's at 10 p.m. For the people on the West Coast, it's like a 7 p.m. game, which is nice. But yeah, I'll move on to the next fixtures now. And I'm going to start with the bronze medal game because I probably have less to say, which is USA versus Australia. This is another rematch of the group fixture game. And the first game was boring, as I said. But this can't end in a tie. As I literally think I said in the first podcast when this match was happening, I was like, oh, this would have been nice if it, like, would have been, like, playing for something. Like, they can't end in a tie. So hopefully this will be fun to watch. I mean, I don't know, like, what's going to happen here. Because obviously, like, in the third place game for the World Cup last year, England kind of didn't even play that well. Like, even, like, Phil Neville said something about that. He was like, it was my fault we didn't win the bronze. Like, we didn't try. They were just so upset about not making it to the final. But I think Australia, like, wants that medal. I mean, Megan Rapinoe did say that they wanted to play for that medal. But I don't know how this U.S. team is going to bounce back after all everything that's happened. But I can either see them coming out, like, wanting to this medal, like, wanting to play, or just nothing. There's, like, no in-between for them. But I think Australia is going to play, like I said, like, they're just going to put it all out on the field and hope for that win. And they want a medal. They want something to show what they did in this Olympics. So my prediction, I'm just going to give it to the USA. But if Australia wins, it's not going to be shocking to me. But I'm just going to give the USA the win because I hope they come out, like, playing like they should. But I don't know. I just think Australia with the rotation, with the players playing the minutes, a lot of them are sore. Is it, like, worth risking it for a bronze medal? I mean, it's not the gold, but it's still a medal. So now moving on to Sweden versus Canada. I mean, Canada has the grit. They are just, they've been grinding. I mean, Sweden's a powerhouse team anyway. I think Sweden's going to win, but as I just said, I don't really care. I said it before, I want Canada to win. But if they don't, I wouldn't mind seeing Sweden win as much just because, as I said, there is some Chelsea players on Sweden. But that's kind of how I decide who I want to win, if there's Chelsea players on each team. But there is on both teams. But I guess I want to see Canada win something. I want Sinclair to win something big. So you can see I'm a little biased towards my team. But yeah, that's just kind of how it is. I'm not going to do key players for this because they're pretty much the same. Like, their goalies, I mean, AD French is probably going to have to show up a lot for the U.S. Tegan Micah is still having a great tournament. I mean, she had one cap before the Olympics, and now she's basically starting all the games. I mean, Canada's midfield is doing great. I think Steph LeBay has also been having a great tournament, and Sweden's defense has been doing really good, so I'm not going to go more in-depth to that, but I guess I'll go to news around the world that's not Olympic-related. Chelsea and Arsenal had their first preseason matchup, which was probably just, I mean, it wasn't as entertaining because obviously Chelsea has like 10 players on international Olympic duty, while Arsenal had some good players that were still playing for them. But Arsenal did win 2-1. As a Chelsea fan, I'm not too worried, but Jordan Knobbs, unfortunately, had a really terrible-looking injury. Erin Cuthbert came in for a tackle, and she got the ball. I don't think it was, like, a dirty play or anything. Like, she got the ball, but the back of her leg, like, clipped Jordan Knobbs' ankle, and her ankle just, like, bent completely in, and it looked literally so bad. And I feel so bad for her because she missed the World Cup team with the injury. She just came back. She was in great form, and then she didn't get selected for Team GB, which I think she should have. And then this happens in preseason, like, that's just awful, just, like, totally gutted for her. But moving on, I'm going to go over the NWSL scores and standings from this weekend. On Saturday, the North Carolina Courage took on the Orlando Pride, and it ended in a 1-1 tie with goals from Sydney LaRue and Brittany Ratcliffe. Another game on Saturday was OL Reign versus Racing Louisville, and this was a 2-0 win. Eugene Le Summer, I think it's that, had two goals, and one of them was insane. She cut her, like, she did, like, three cuts and just went around the whole defense in the box, and she was just insane. Moving on to Sunday's game, it was the Washington Spirit versus the Chicago Red Stars. I was watching this game because, as a Spirit fan, I really wanted them to win, but unfortunately they didn't. I'll actually be at the game next week, so maybe I'll talk about that. Another game was Portland versus Kansas City. Portland won 2-0. And finally, the Houston Dash took on New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. That's a long name to say. And it was a 1-1 tie. And looking at the NWSL standings, Portland's in first with 25 points, with New York, New Jersey, Gotham FC in second with 20. Chicago in third with 20. And Washington in fourth with 18. And North Carolina in fifth with 18. Houston in sixth with 17. Orlando in 7th with 17, and Orlando dropped a lot, I think, ever since the Olympics. Like, they were in 1st, they were basically undefeated, but now they're in 7th. In 8th, we have OL Reign with 16 points. In 9th, we have Louisville with 11 points, and we have, in 10th, Kansas City with 4 points, which is kind of sad because they haven't won a game yet. They've lost 8, and they've tied 4. I mean, this team was formerly known as the Utah Royals, who did pretty good. I really don't know what happened there, but I said hopefully that trade will help them out. Hopefully they can get a win soon, so I'm rooting for them just to get a win. But, yeah, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to the Women's Football Report Olympic Edition. Hopefully you tune in after the gold medal and bronze medal games. So thank you so much for listening.